Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. Live from Studio A and inside the Sugar Shack World headquarters, it's the In Wheel Time car talk show. Somebody's got a red face over here. Coming up, we talk to Hugh Mann from the Houston Community College about its EV curriculum. You listening, EV fans? It's for you. Jeff has a segment on USA road trips and famous driving destinations. Conrad will have the racing calendar and the car clinic. And we'll also have the stories making automotive news headlines this week. We're going to stick it in fourth gear just ahead on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show.
You're going to plug it in.
Along with Mike Out of This World Mars, King Conrad DeLong. We always need more Jeff Zekin. I'm Don Armstrong. Glad you could join us today. Day before the Indy 500.
Monaco Grand Prix and the World 600.
Yeah. Coca-Cola.
The Coca-Cola
Is it still Coca-Cola 600? Yes, why can't I hear you, Jeff? Okay, I can't. No, there you go.
There I am.
Okay. All right. Our guest now is Hugh Mann, Houston Community College of Automotive Technology and their electric vehicle curriculum. Hugh, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Is this the first of, I assume, many classes to come with electric vehicles?
Yeah. Good morning. Thanks for having me back, guys. I appreciate it. We hadn't rolled out the first class yet. We're still developing it. You know, it seems here lately, it's on the education side, momentum seemed to have picked up. More people are calling and inquiring and having interest and wanting to put programs together. So we are developing the first class right now, and it'll be started and rolled out kind of as a continuing education program. You know, we're building multiple sizes to fit different customer base, whether it be a 1 day, 6-8 hour class to a 2 or 3 day program, and it's kind of a mix. It's a hybrid vehicle and electric vehicle class, kind of put into one to start with.
And when does it start?
We're probably about a month out from actually flipping the switch and offering the first class. We got a couple companies out that have approached us that have kind of stepped up to, hey, we want to be the guinea pig. We want to do the first class, and we're putting together some stuff to train mostly their technicians, existing technicians that are already out there that are just trying to get more knowledgeable on the EV and the hybrid vehicles and how to deal with them, how to evaluate them, how to be safe with them.
Are you getting any support from any of the OEMs?
Not a lot. You know, like with most OEM training, they kind of have their own program. They want their guys to go to their own program. What we're focusing on is a lot of the aftermarket shop areas, people like CarMax, Firestone, NTB, some organizations that have fleets. You know, we work real close with the city of Houston, doing some training for them and working out some of theirs, along with we've even been in discussions with Metro and doing some stuff with them. They Metro just took delivery of their first fully electric bus, so they're looking to do
probably looking for a place to plug it in.
Very possible.
Yeah. I can't. So would the charger be the same as a regular car charger? But that thing that you plug in there?
A huge big.
It's a great big plug. Thing. I mean.
Great big plug.
Well, I mean, would it be a great big plug?
Probably a thicker cord or thicker cable.
I don't know.
Cable.
I mean, I'm just asking.
Just depends on how much power you're trying to push into it in a period of time.
Well, there's that. But I can't imagine a bus powered by electric motors and batteries. Can you imagine how much it weighs without that?
Well, Hummer's 9,000 pounds.
It's the voltage and stuff that's going to make the difference. And I'll be willing to bet you a 240, like a supercharger, is still used, and it's going to be that bigger 240-type plug.
So, hey, Hugh, out at Houston Community College, to do EV training, they've got to make a pretty decent investment in your training program, not just in equipment, but in the infrastructure of the shop, of the power sources to do recharging and stuff, as well as the safety. You know, I know the, you know, my thing is, you know, first thing you need to do when you learn how to work on an electric vehicle is how to pull the guy off that got bit. Whether you use a 2x4 or the swimming hook.
Well, they got to understand the value of it too. What's the ROI for the school?
Yep. Well, I think the return on investment for the school will be pretty good because there's nobody else out there doing EV training to speak of, except
outside
the OEMs.
Outside of the OEMs, yeah.
Which means that the independent aftermarket shops have only one, and that'll be your program, will only have one resource to go get trained on. I know there's some independent training that goes on it, but not very much. So it'll be nice to see a regular program that independent shops can go to learn about their EV program, their EV vehicles.
Yeah, to my knowledge, there's some private companies out there doing some training. I don't know of any of the other local community colleges or local colleges that have any programs in place yet. I'm pretty sure we're all working on them. You know, the biggest thing with the big trucks and the buses, from discussions I've had with a couple other people, is, and this is one of the things that really hampers the commercial industry from going fully electric, is the time frame it would take to charge one.
Right.
You can't really do the rapid charge on them like you can a car, because of the power that they take, the heat generated to do some type of rapid charge. Just, you wouldn't be able to do it. They basically would have to park overnight and charge at a longer time frame, which kind of limits them to a regional type delivery truck or something that's going to stay close. I don't see them going over the road anytime soon.
And to do a fleet of buses, let's say you're trying to charge 30 or 40 buses overnight, you might as well roll in a
generator,
an electric generated train, and use the generator on that to charge all the rest of them, because that's the only thing that's
going to happen. I was thinking about bringing up the South Texas Nuclear Power Project.
There you go.
Just hook it up to that.
And for a rapid charge on a rapid transit?
Ooh.
Rapid charge on a rapid transit. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything rapid about the transit. But used to be.
So which location is your program going to run out of? I know you guys have the one off of Airline, and then you also have one up in the northeast side of town.
Yeah, the continuing ed, we'll start it probably at our what we call our North Forest location. It's the one over off more northeast, off East Little York and Homestead area. It's our newer facility. We got a little extra room over there, so it'll be started there. Eventually, we'll offer it at both locations.
And were the Prius cutaway cars, were those donated to you from Toyota, or how did you guys acquire those?
I've got some video I'm going to pull up while you're talking about that, Hugh.
Oh, no problem. No, actually, we purchased those from a private training provider. They started making them. I think other than their demo one that they first built, I think we got the first two. And they are they're second gen Priuses. The neat thing about them is, obviously, you know, they did kind of cut half the car away. In the pictures, you can see on the back side, there's one where you can see the hybrid battery. The hybrid battery that's mounted out in the open is basically gutted. There's nothing in it. It's just for identification and explaining.
Just a case.
Correct. Right in front of it, you'll see the cover under the actual hybrid battery that's still in the car. And then on the front, they did the same thing. We got an inverter that's mounted up and on top of the engine compartment for identification. And then the real inverter still in. So these cars, even though they're cut away and got spare, you know, dummy parts out there, they're fully operational. You can get in them, drive them wherever you want to drive them. We can still hook all the diagnostic equipment up to them. And show how and put bugs in them and so forth and so on. But it's nice because if you take a live car, you're always explaining to the students, you know, about the battery, about all the orange cables, about all the connections, but you can't really show them on a live car until you disable it. With these dummy parts on them, it's easier for the students to be able to take an inverter apart and see all the components inside an inverter without the danger of the high voltage.
Now, right. I know there are some people out there that will teach people how to service individual cells in the Prius hybrid battery pack. Will that be something in your program, or is it pretty much swap a pack?
It could be in the future. Right now, it's just swapping out the battery itself, changing the battery. Our first class, the first one-day class primarily, is a safety class more than anything. How to be safe, where the danger parts are. And then we get into some basic testing, how to tell whether a battery's, or whether the battery, the hybrid battery is good, if it's good, bad, if it has an issue, and then swapping that battery out. And just kind of covering the basics, the difference between a 12 volt and the high voltage side and so forth.
Yeah. We had a company on that actually is selling a device to basically sniff the battery, to simplify it, to sniff the battery for outgassing.
Yeah.
And that outgassing is an indication of the probability of a thermal runaway. As the battery gets hot and expands, that outgassing, their device sniffs for the outgassing of it. And a pretty interesting interview I thought we had with him last week, because it's a technology I think there's a real reason to have. And I know electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles are truly a major part of the auto industry right now, and in the future are going to be even a bigger part. So to see you guys get involved in putting together a training program for the independent shops, I think is pretty important. And, yeah, starting with safety is going to be the first thing. I remember when the Nissan Leaf first came out, I'd go into a Nissan store, and they would get out the police tape and the stanchions, and they'd surround the car with police tape and stanchions.
That was because you were there.
But just to make sure they kept everybody away, because you know, if that electrical system gets a hold of you, you're gonna stick, you know, and that's where the hook or the 2x4 comes in, is trying to pry you off of it.
Well, I heard your interview last week with that gentleman. It was interesting. I started to do a little research into that myself, based off y'all's interview with him. And you know, we kind of got those stanchions too that we put around the cars, and you know, not only explaining the safety of where to touch, what not to touch, and on top of that, we even have a safety protocol in place of a lockbox to put the key fob in, and explain to them how far the key fob's got to be away from the car so it can't. The car can't see the signal and can't energize the car while you're trying to work on it, and so forth. And also in the slideshow, I had some pictures in there, some electrical training boards that we've purchased.
Yep.
Those are made by a company called Lucas Newell. They're out of Germany. The first one is a hybrid electric vehicle simulator training board. It'll actually simulate five different powertrains, from a series hybrid to a parallel hybrid, series parallel hybrid, full electric and hydrogen. It's built where we can put bugs in the car. It's got its own built-in scan tool built into the board. It's designed to be used to train to train guys for the ASE L3 electric test, electrical vehicle test. It's also the only electric vehicle training board that's endorsed and approved for Skills USA. It's what they use in their national contest for testing students on electrical vehicle diagnosis and troubleshooting. And then the second board that I had a picture of in there was also made by the same company, Lucas Newell. We got a couple of those, and it's a first responder training board. It's simply set up. It's got four or five scenarios that you can pick condition-wise to train first responders where to disconnect power and how to disconnect power in different areas within the system.
Yeah, because if they're going into something that's they're going to have to get out the jaws of life, they've got to be very cautious about where they start touching stuff in a hybrid vehicle or in a full EV. You know, and, yep. and you know it can hurt them as well as whoever's stuck in the car. So, well, cool. Glad to see Houston Community College is kind of leading the industry here, reaching out to do something for the independent shops to get them more skills and experience working on the EVs. And, you know, starting with safety makes sense. And just, you know, and we've had Dean on the show a number of times. And, I know Mike, and I've known Mike Cleveland for quite some time. He's been a fan of the show as well. So glad to see you guys are out there growing the industry and doing what we can to help the industry here in town. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. And we appreciate y'all giving us an opportunity and the platform to come let everybody know what's available and what we're doing out there.
Hey, very Hugh, nice. Don't y'all have an open house coming up pretty quick?
Actually, we do on June 10th. June 10th at our North Forest location, which is the one at 6010 East Little York. It's on the corner of Little York and Homestead. It's a campus-wide kind of a re-grand opening again, but it's for the whole campus, not just the automotive, but that is where our second automotive location is. And we'll be doing tours and some demonstrations. We got a paint simulator we'll have out there where you can simulate painting your doing some paint and body painting, body work, and we'll do some other demos and have some little one-hour seminars on vehicle inspection and maintenance, as well as they'll be doing other things with other programs. That same location, we teach welding, HVAC. We actually have a audio recording program there where we actually have a full recording studio at that location. And all that'll be open to the public for tours, and again, there'll be other seminars there as well within the other programs. So I believe it runs from about 9 to 1 in the afternoon. Everybody's welcome to come out and take a look and check out the new campus.
Very good.
These graduating seniors need to go.
Thank you very much. Houston Community College of Automotive Technology, Hugh Mann, or human.
Here you go.
If you say it fast. All right. In-wheel time race card.
I'm sure he hasn't heard that.
The in-wheel time race card is sponsored by Texas Nostalgia Modified Production.
And this is a racing weekend.
Make it quick.
Make it quick. Well, because he's got a big thing here.
So it's we start in the morning on Sunday with the Monaco Grand Prix, and then in the early afternoon it goes to the Indy 500.
Yes.
And then in the evening is the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte. So there's going to be about 1,400 miles of racing on Sunday.
And 1,400 hours of coverage.
Thinking the same thing.
I would be there. 800 hours of coverage.
And with that, I'll there. Give you Mr. Jeff Zekin. Oh,
well, yes, Jeff Zekin's got a very special little special feature.
For on the road again.
USA Road Trip's famous driving destinations.
We play a little Willie Nelson, but
no,
we're not going to
play any music. We're not playing any music.
We ain't playing no damn
well,
music.
I want to tell you that many will say that going on an epic road trip is the best.
Where's the opening? Really the where's the opening screen?
I already flicked it.
Come on, Mars. You
need
to keep up.
I'm
taking notes.
The only way to experience America, this is the land of open road, roadside attractions, and roadside diners. The first one, which this is California Route 1, Pacific Coast Highway 1.
Been there.
It starts in San Diego, and it ends in Mendocino, California. It is a 656-mile trek. Camping in Big Sur, if you wish to do that. It's for the ultimate California road trip. Consider driving the entire stretch of Pacific Route 1. This epic route, which should take at least a week, some people take two, brings you to some gorgeous coastline and small, bustling little towns.
Stunningly beautiful drive.
It's gorgeous. Absolutely.
You can stop in at the Hearst Castle just north of Cambria.
You can. And the next one we have is Route 66. What a classic. It's a classic road trip across America. It starts in Chicago, Illinois, and ends in Santa Monica, California.
Or if you do
and
the
that's
reverse.
That's what the sign looks like in Chicago,
it
Illinois,
does,
right?
It does, and it starts, it actually takes Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and of course it ends in California. It's a 2,448-mile trip, ooh, and this is the typical Americana, or what they say is Merca, in the United States. Over the years, Route 66 has been immortalized by Hollywood films, musicians, and novels. One of the best parts of Route 66 is watching the landscape shift from the Great Plains and the Mississippi wetlands into the deserts and mountains of West Coast roadside landscapes. Entering Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona can be surreal, and there's no place like the American Southwest.
And there's all kinds of museums about Route 66 along the drive as well that you could plan on stopping in.
Don't spoil it. They got to take the trip to do it.
Well, we had one of the Route 66 museums on the show last year.
The next one we have, we're going to go to the other coast, and this is Florida A1A. This is the overseas highway. I don't know if I would like to do this, but I'm kind of afraid. It's a 340-mile trip. It's all beaches. It starts in Amelia Island, Florida, and it ends in the Florida Keys. It's a 340-mile distance, like we said, driving across, Mike, what? The Caribbean Sea. Florida A1A runs the entire length of the Atlantic Floridian coast and further into the Caribbean Sea. Portions that connect the mainland to Florida Keys, which they call it the Florida Keys Scenic Byway, used to be called the Transway. You can't do that anymore.
It's but it can be by. It just can't be trans. It's
considered engineering marvel as one of the highlights of the trip. Gliding across the Caribbean and the lights
of ride.
Ernest Hemingway's home and Key West. You can also find some more smaller towns, quieter towns like Cocoa Beach and Vero Beach. There's still surfing out there. I got a friend of mine that's from Cocoa Beach. He said it's absolutely gorgeous. Someday we'll do that. But these are trips you got to take for the summertime. The next one, which is my favorite, another route, but this is Route 61. It's called the Blues Highway. It's some of the most significant musical sites in America. It starts in New Orleans, and it ends in Wyoming, Minnesota. It goes through Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, and, of course, it ends in Minnesota. Mm. It's a 1,400-mile trip, and again, it's Merca. Route 61 is called the Blues Highway because it's been part of so many American musicians' lives. This means the greatest blues singers, rockers, country wailers at one point have been on this highway to drive to a road or drive to a gig on this road. There's the B.B. King Museum, Heartbreak Hotel, and some of the most hallowed music venues, concert halls in the country are along this route. The infamous crossroads where Robert Johnson supposedly sold his soul to the devil for fame at the intersection of Highway 1 and Highway 8.
Sounds like a Charlie's Daniels band.
Yeah, I think music. So. Yep, years ago.
But we're not allowed to play it.
Not allowed to play it. That's right.
No, we're not. Well, it's and I control that over here, so it ain't getting on the air.
And the last one, folks, look in your backyard. You can take a day trip, and I referenced this because when
my
we went to...
My backyard does not look like that.
When we went
I
to
can only imagine.
New Braunfels coming back, Kathy and I had a great time stopping in all these little towns, stopping in all the little barbecue places, buying all the little knickknacks and things. New Braunfels, anything. But this is called Texas Hill Country. It's just west of Austin. The distance depends on you and where you want to go, Conrad. It's not just oil fields and deserts in Texas. You've got greenery. You've got a lot of biking trails, hiking trails, mountain off-road stuff that you can do. Tasty barbecue. Consider a trip in your backyard. I'm looking forward to go to Granbury. It's going to be a blast.
I agree.
Yep.
Well, thank
and
you, sir.
And there you have it.
Well, that's
go
great.
Enjoy the road this summer.
I have an Indy 500 feature that I want to do now because I know how the show goes, and we'll run out of time before I get time to do it. Okay? Green flag, it starts the Indy 500 scheduled for Sunday, May 28th, holds extra significance this year. This is from Automotive News. The 33 open-wheel cars will be the cleanest, greenest, and potentially meanest ooh in the 107-year history of the classic American race. Indy cars will be burning 100% renewable biofuel using carbon-neutral motor oil and orbiting the oval on tires made of recycled plastics.
Isn't this important?
Even some of the support trucks delivering supplies to the track will be electric-powered. Now, you can poo-poo this if you want, but this is the way that it is.
You're running on poo-poo?
You just need to shut up and listen. This year, two 2.2-liter twin-turbo V6 engines will power Indy cars, one made by Honda, the other by Chevrolet. Now, do you understand the significance of 2.2 liters?
Yeah. They're tiny guys.
Mm-hmm. Both often run at the limit of 12,000 RPM.
Just a little bit bigger than a big bottle of Coke.
Singer.
Cranking out more than 750 horsepower as they reach speeds topping 230 miles an hour on the 2.5-mile oval. The sidewalls of the Firestone Firehawk tires that will be used in five races taking place on street tracks, such as the Detroit Grand Prix, feature a rubber made from guayule, pronounced guayuli, a woody shrub found in the deserts of the Southwest. Guayuli is probably best known as a source for natural latex used for gloves and medical devices. For IndyCar races run on oval tracks such as the Indy 500, the second version of the Firehawk tire contains recycled consumer plastics. It's made with recycled monomers that create a synthetic rubber and is resistant to wear. Those are just some of the highlights, mm-hmm. but I wanted to get those stories in there for all you tree huggers out there. So it's supposed to be a carbon neutral race environment at the Indy 500.
Running on methanol.
Well, and you know, they've got the Indy organization has the technology to do that. It's not just them. They've got all these other resources that they can do that with.
Wait till they do the Daytona 500 with EV.
I'm sorry I cut you off because of all the fumbling with the microphone you're doing over there. Well, that's it for Conrad. See you later.
See you, buddy.
one other story. Hyundai Kia still under legal pressure after settling lawsuits over car thefts. Despite Hyundai and Kia's agreement to a $200 million settlement and a class action lawsuit, the automakers still face a heap of lawsuits and pressure from influential stakeholders. Reaching the settlement that litigants welcomed last week is only one step for the automakers. They're still defendants in numerous lawsuits brought by entities seeking damages they claim resulted from Hyundai Kia's decision not to include engine immobilizers as standard equipment on 9 million of their older vehicles on the road. Legal tangle was sparked by a wave of car thefts last year after a TikTok video demonstrated how to hotwire Hyundai and Kia vehicles that lack an anti-theft device to defuse the situation. Kia and Hyundai have offered owners of 8.3 million of the vehicle's software updates that will enhance the alarms. It also will be working to get steering wheel locks to owners whose vehicles are ineligible for the upgrade. It's a big deal.
Big deal.
A big deal.
Remember?
Yep. Remember? All right. The In Wheel Time Car Talk show is available 24/7 through the iHeartRadio app. Just look for In Wheel Time Car Talk. We also video stream on Facebook, YouTube, and InWheelTime.com. Podcasts are at your fingertips on over a dozen of the most popular podcast outlets. The In Wheel Time Car Talk show continues right after this quick break. Everyone at the Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise Inn at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy, thank you for participating in the best cruise in around and look forward to seeing you again. You'll hear about the next cruise in date right here on In Wheel Time. Next time you're in the West Houston Energy Corridor area, be sure and stop in at the original Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex at I-10 and Highway 6 or the Katy location on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard. When passing through Beaumont or College Station, stop in and have Loopy's award-winning beef fajitas and frozen margaritas. There's always a celebration at Loopy Tortilla. Loopy Tortilla founder Stan Holt and his wife Sheila are winning racers on the NHRA drag racing circuit and have a collection of hot rods and classics that everyone appreciates. Look for them at the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise-In. The date will be announced soon and will once again be held at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex on 99 and Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10 and Katy. We'll give you all the details right here on the In Real Time Car Talk show and online. Donations benefit God's Garage. We'll see you then. You own a car you love. Well, why not let Gulf Coast Auto Shield protect it? Houstonian John Gray invites you to his state-of-the-art facility to introduce you to his specialist team of auto enthusiasts. We promise you'll be impressed. Whether you're looking to massage your original paint to a like-new appearance, apply a ceramic coating, install a paint protection film, nano-ceramic window tint, or new windshield protection called ExoShield, Gulf Coast Auto Shield is where Houston's car people go. Curbed your wheels?
Instead of buying new, why not have them repaired? How about a professionally installed radar detector? Gulf Coast Auto Shield does that too. Get a peek inside the shop and look at the services offered by getting online and heading to gcautoshield.com. Better yet, stop by their facility at 11275 South Sam Houston Tollway, just south of the Southwest Freeway, and get a personal tour. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is your place to go for all things exterior. Call them today, 832-930-5655 or gcautoshield.com. The award-winning In Real Time Car Talk Show is available on the most popular podcast channels out there in 30-minute episodes. We realize our three-hour live show can be difficult to catch in its entirety, so now you can listen every day to a convenient, fresh 30-minute episode. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Audible, along with a dozen more. In Real Time has the most informative automotive guest interviews and new car reviews, along with popular features including Conrad's Car Clinic and This Week in Auto History, along with automotive news headlines. Our live broadcast airs every Saturday, 8 to 11 Central, on InRealTime.com, the iHeart app, and on YouTube. Be sure to say hello when we're broadcasting from the Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise Inn, Autorama, and the Houston Auto Show, among others. Now, it's easier than ever to hear about all things automotive all week long. You're invited to join fellow car enthusiasts in becoming part of the ever-growing In Real Time Car Talk family. Don't forget those 30-minute podcast episodes on your favorite podcast channel. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Real Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central, on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.